May it please the court. The starting point for determining the RAM's sales tax liability is identifying the sales at retail, because those are the taxable transactions upon which sales tax is to be calculated. The Rams sold tickets for admission to football games. There's no question that those ticket sales were taxable under Section 144.020.1, subsection 2. And this court has held that subsection 2 is not ambiguous. It imposes sales tax on sums paid for admission to places of amusement, games, and athletic events, on amounts paid for seating accommodations therein, and on all fees paid to or in places of amusement, games, and athletic events. The definition of sale at retail embraces sales of admission tickets, as well as charges or fees to or in places of games, amusements, or athletic events. The total sale price of the ticket sales was subject to sales tax. Even if you do look at the definition of gross receipts, which the commission quoted on page 4 of its decision that can be found at page A21 of my appendix, the definition of gross receipts states in part that gross receipts means the total amount of the sale price of the sales at retail. So the question for this court is whether the Rams proved by clear and unequivocal proof, which is the burden they had to meet, that a part of the sale price of these ticket sales to football games qualified for an exclusion from taxation under Section 144.010, subsection 1. Now, the Rams' theory, they really do not fit the language of the statutory provision. But the Rams' theory was that because they paid an entertainment licensing tax to the city of St. Louis, which was imposed on, in their case, 5%, was imposed on gross receipts derived from their charges for admissions, the Rams' theory was that 5% of their ticket sales ought not to be subject to state sales tax. But if you look at Section 144.010.1, subsection 1, under that statute, admission is exclusive of amounts, it might say excludes, amounts that are imposed for admission tax by the federal government or by Sections 144.010 to 144.525 RISMO. And the entertainment licensing tax that's imposed here just does not fit under either of those provisions in the statute that provide for this exclusion. It's not imposed. Yes, ma'am.
I would just ask, what's its authorization?
What's its authorization? I think it's in Chapter 94. And on appeal, I'm not claiming that the city does not have authority to impose that tax. The city of St. Louis, the Nicolai case, I believe is directly on point there. And I'm not saying that the city of St. Louis doesn't have authority to impose this entertainment licensing tax.
So your argument is you can't impose a tax on a tax. You cannot impose it if it's within the it's imposed pursuant to the provisions set out in the statute you just quoted, but otherwise you can?
I don't know that I necessarily agree that in this case the tax is being imposed on a tax, but the prohibition against imposing a tax on a tax does not come into play unless you have the same taxing authority levying the tax, Your Honor. But I don't believe that this is imposing a tax on a tax. This is imposing a tax on a ticket sale. It's imposing a tax on an amount that's paid for admission or that's charged for seating accommodation, or you could look at it at a fee that is imposed to or in a place of games, athletic events, or amusement.
But how are they to collect the tax then, if not as part of the ticket sales? If it's not a tax, but they have to collect an entertainment license tax, how is it they're supposed to collect it from people who come?
As a practical matter, it's not in the record how in individual transactions the Rams do that. I suppose that they would take into account in determining what to charge as the ticket price.
Isn't that what occurred here? Or is that not what occurred here?
I do not know, Your Honor, because that's not in the record. I don't know how they break it down on the receipt they give to the customer or if one would purchase a ticket online.
But there is a way they could do it that would make it not taxable, but you think they didn't do that here?
Oh, Your Honor, I'm not saying that I think that there's a way that they could make it not subject to sales tax simply by how they print it out on the receipt. I don't believe that to be the case.
Thank you.
So the Rams have not met their burden of showing that they fit exactly within the language of this statutory exclusion in Section 144.010.1, subsection 1. Perhaps I should talk a little bit about more leasing, because it's not clear from the last page of the Commission's decision, but it appears that the Commission, even though it said that more leasing was not the controlling case here, that it was looking at footnote 2 in that decision in determining that the Rams were entitled to a refund and that the part of these ticket sales that they paid for entertainment licensing tax was not, in fact, subject to sales tax that qualified for this exclusion or exemption. And the Commission should have stopped in looking at more leasing when it determined that this was not the controlling case. More leasing involved leases of motor vehicles. For those transactions, the sales tax is imposed by a different statutory provision, by 144.070.5. And there's a different provision. It's the third or fourth sentence of the definition of gross receipts that specifically applies if you have a rental agreement or if you have a lease contract, which is not what we have in this case, where we have the sales of football tickets. And so in that particular situation, gross receipts is determined a little bit differently. And so for that reason, the court took a look at that, took a look at 144.070.5, which the court held was ambiguous, and here we don't have an ambiguous statute. So what I would ask the court to do is to remand this case. This was disposed of on summary disposition, and unfortunately, I don't think that we have sufficient facts or proposed facts, and I don't think that the analysis was necessarily such that the court can simply remand the case and determine that the commission ought to have entered summary disposition in favor of my client, but it should be sent back to the commission with further proceedings and hopefully some guidance to the commission on what it ought to do on remand.
Thank you.
Good morning. I think this case is really a very simple case. We briefed a few things on exemptions and exclusions, and we're just discussing exclusions, but this case really isn't about an exemption or an exclusion. It's about the scope of the sales tax with respect to this section 144.020, subsection 2. And the scope of that tax is fairly simple. It is the amount paid for admission and seating accommodations or fees paid in or to any place of amusement, entertainment, or recreation, games, and athletic events. And the St. Louis Entertainment License Tax was not paid by ticket purchasers for any of those things. And although the commission did not rely on or say that either ITT Canteen case or More Leasing were controlling the decision, the principles that were espoused in that case really do control the outcome of this case. In ITT Canteen, in addressing the imposition of a cigarette tax and whether that would be included in sales tax base, one of the things the court stated was that the sales tax should be imposed on amounts received for the benefit of the seller, for the use and benefit of the seller. The principle being that amounts of tax that are collected as tax and remitted to a taxing authority would not be included as part of the taxable receipts. And in More Leasing, this court characterized the issue as whether under the relevant sales tax provision, the personal property tax at issue was a part of the amount charged for each rental or lease agreement. And I want to take a moment here to just say that the issue of tax on tax and also the issue of double taxation, although that's not something that we're apparently talking about today, but the issue of tax on tax does not depend on having the same taxing authority imposing the tax. In fact, in More Leasing, you were dealing with local property taxes that were being provided to the local assessor, and you're doing a state sales tax. So you again had a local tax and a locally imposed tax, and you had the state sales tax. So it's not as though the same taxing authority has to be imposing the tax for the tax-on-tax prohibition to come into play.
What is the evidence in the record regarding the ticket price and the other tax paid being part of that ticket price?
There were stipulations of the parties that provided that the tax was collected from the purchaser and remitted to the city of St. Louis. And there were also stipulations that the sales tax was collected on, whether it was collected on during the period of refund on the amount paid for admission and then also the entertainment license tax, or whether in the assessment period it was collected and paid only on.
And was there evidence that that tax was part of the ticket price?
The facts are that it was collected. Yeah, the stipulation and what, as the commission found, was that the Rams collected the tax. So I think whether or not it was part of a ticket price, which is not.
Was there some other way they collected it? Did they say, here's pay for your ticket and here's tax?
Or? I think that's the relevant issue, is that when the Rams sold football tickets, they collected the entertainment license tax. Personally, I don't think it matters. Like in More Leasing, there was a separate billing. I don't think that matters. The tax was collected, and the parties stipulated the tax was collected and remitted to the city.
And was there any other way it could have been collected other than as part of the ticket price?
It was collected with the amount for admission. The ticket price is not a defined term. It's used in the briefing, but I would simply say that the ticket price is not the taxable event. The taxable transaction, or the amount of gross receipts subject to tax, is defined as these amounts paid for admission, seating accommodations, or fees paid in or to.
I'm just trying to get an answer to a simple question. When you buy your ticket, are you paying extra money over the ticket, the amount listed on your ticket for tax, or was the tax that you're paying included in that price that's set on the ticket, or does the record not tell us that?
The record does not reflect how the amount of the collected tax was presented to the purchaser.
So we don't know if it had the little legend on the back that said 0.345% of this is for tax for X.
We don't have a copy of a ticket or something. That is, a copy of the ticket is not a part of the record. Okay. It was simply that the party stipulated that the tax was collected.
Thank you.
Do we know whether the city tax is applied to the total amount or to the amount less the state sales tax?
The city tax was only imposed on the amount charged. The sales tax was not included in the tax base. Having said that, I don't believe that is also a part of the record, how the city tax was calculated, other than on the amount collected for the admission to the game.
So your argument is that if we're talking about the scope of the tax and not the exemption, then you don't have the burden of proving entitlement to it by clear and unequivocal proof.
That's absolutely correct. And I think if you look at the Bartlett case that was cited for that principle, the Bartlett case applies that, and other cases do as well, to exemptions. And I would argue that we are really only looking at the imposition of the tax here. We're not even talking about the exclusion that relates to one of the three pieces of the tax.
What does the burden matter if the decision was based on stipulated facts?
I suppose it doesn't. If the burden.
The burden matters because if there isn't evidence that supports it, then whoever has the burden failed to meet their burden.
Well, I think that the fact that we collected the tax from the purchasers, which was stipulated and was found by the commission, I think that that is sufficient to meet any burden we would have. I simply want to clarify that really what I'm trying to make sure I get through to the court is that we're not talking about an exemption, and I don't even believe we're talking about an exclusion. Because this court has articulated this section of the tax, section 144.20, subsection 2, it really falls on three things. It falls on admissions paid to places of amusement, it falls on amounts paid for seating accommodations therein, and third, it falls on fees paid in or to a place of amusement. That admission language, which I believe is simply interpreting or helping to define what an admission is, would have no impact on the other two pieces of the tax. It wouldn't impact charges for seating accommodations, it wouldn't impact fees paid to a place for amusement. And so if we're going to adopt the director's position, then tax on tax would be allowed in those other contexts. And I think, you know, a case that was decided here before, you would have bowling shoes that could have sales tax imposed on it, and then you could have sales tax imposed again. It's really, it leads to absurd results, and that's why the director's regulation, which we've cited in the briefs, clearly states that the tax base or the gross receipts does not include amounts that are collected as tax and that are remitted to the taxing authority. So I think that the issue here is really that when you're dealing with a tax such as the entertainment license tax or the sales tax, these are amounts that are collected from the purchaser to be remitted to the taxing authority, and those are not properly included in the base. It's not an income tax. It's not a cost of doing business.
So aren't you saying the burden of proof is on the director to prove that it's included within that their taxing authority, and they fail to do so?
I think that it gets to the presumption. Perhaps the burden of proof is the wrong way to put it. Proof within, I would say that that's accurate, that they haven't demonstrated that this is part of the tax base, I think, as a matter of law. I don't know that there is factual evidence that would weigh into the burden, but I don't think that the director has sufficiently overcome the presumption that the taxing statute should be construed against the director and in favor of the taxpayer, to the extent there's ambiguity.
Nobody disputes that the price was the price and that price included tax which you remitted, right?
The total price for the ticket, that's fine, because that's not actually the statutory imposition of the
right.
tax. So I don't think there's a factual issue with respect to whether or not the entertainment license tax was included in the total price. It's simply a matter of whether or not we collected the tax as such from the purchaser, and thus it shouldn't be a part of the sales tax base. That's correct. We're not actually disputing an issue of total price, because I don't think that's a legally significant term. So I think that we've discussed, I believe, the burdens that the parties have. I do want to say that to the extent that this is termed to be an exclusion, we would still carry, I think, the burden, but I do believe that it is the case that we, as the taxpayer, get the benefit of the doubt if there is any ambiguity. I don't think that there is any ambiguity in the taxing statute. I think the regulation demonstrates that. I think the fact that if you end up imposing tax on tax, you get absurd results. I think these are all things that weigh in favor of finding for the RAMs. I don't think there's any need for remand in this case, because, as we've discussed, we're not disputing what was in the price of the ticket. We're just saying that based on the stipulation of the parties, the fact is that we collected the tax and we remitted the tax to the city, and thus, having collected a tax as such from the purchaser, that is not included in our gross receipts for purposes of the sales tax. And I would say that to that extent, there was some dispute about whether or not, I believe, this issue of collection of the tax was a legal issue. I think the director termed it to be that to some extent. But really, whether or not the tax was collected is a factual issue. And so I think that while this court does review the commission's findings on respect to the law on de novo, that this factual issue that was stipulated by the parties and was found by the director, that is something that should be upheld if there is substantial evidence and if the law supports it. And I think that it does in this case, that we did collect the tax and we did remit it. So I think that that's really what we would say here, is that the relevant facts have been stipulated or they've been found by the commission. There really is no argument that the amount collected for the entertainment license tax was for any of the three taxable items in section 144.020. It was not for admission. That's not why it was paid, to use the term of the statute, the amount paid. It was collected as tax and paid as tax by the purchaser, and so it shouldn't be included in the sales tax base. Is there any further questions?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Let me start with what I believe is a critical point. If you look at the two petitions that the RAMs filed in the AHC, they're pretty short, but if you look at page 763 in volume 9 of the legal file, pardon me, and at page 769, those are from the two petitions, and it's under a heading that I believe is called argument. On those two pages of the record, the Rams say that what they are seeking here is an exclusion under Section 144.010.1, subsection 1. They do not say that they are challenging that a part of the ticket price here is not taxable under Section 144.020.1, subsection 2. And the law that's clearly established by this court is that if there's an exclusion at stake or an exemption, the Rams have the burden of proof.
And why is that correct, that it's an exclusion as opposed to a coverage issue?
It's correct that it's an exclusion because the 144 point, because the statute says that admission is exclusive of, and so that would be exclusionary language. The statute that imposes the
but
tax,
but their point
of
is they're not charging this for admission. They're charging it. They're simply acting as a conduit to pay the city its tax. So that's not part of their admission price. So it's not covered under the statute, which says it's a tax on the admission price.
I understand that that's their argument, Your Honor, but
why isn't that a correct argument?
That is not correct because under 144.020.1, subsection 2, it's the amount paid for seating accommodation, or it could be a fee charge. But also, if you look at the definition of sale at retail under the statute, it's the sale of the admission ticket. It's the admission ticket itself. And here the customer is paying
is that a
sale
quote?
Price.
It says everything you paid for the admission ticket is considered the admission price someplace in the statute? Or is that your argument about what it meant?
Well, that's my argument about what it means based on the statutory language, Your Honor. But if you look at the definition of gross receipts, for example, it says the total sale price of the sale at retail is involved, and so you're looking at the ticket price because that's the sale at retail. And however it may be set out on the receipt or the printout that the customer receives, whether you look at it as an amount paid for admission or for seating accommodation, or whether, depending on how it's printed out in the sheet, you look at that as a fee paid to or in a place of admission, this is clearly subject to sales tax.
You said earlier that it can't be a tax upon a tax when it's two separate entities imposing or levying the tax, and your opponent disagrees with that. What's your authority for that proposition?
My authority for the proposition that if you have two different taxing authorities, you don't have the prohibition against a tax on a tax, that is the GTE automatic case, which, because of this court's decision in 2016 in the IBM case, is definitely still good law, and that had to do with the manufacturing exemption to sales tax. So the part about levying a tax on a tax always has remained good law. You could also look at Spink, but as counsel for the Rams pointed out, that wasn't as directly on point as GTE automatic would be.
But wasn't it two different taxing authorities in Moore?
Well, you did have two different taxing authorities in Moore, but in Moore, I think that it was really stretching things to try to go out and levy sales tax just on a separate amount that's paid for property tax. I don't have the lease contract to look at in that case in the record, but I think that that was a different situation, and of course that involved a lease, and this situation does not.
What are the facts that you think need to be developed on remand, and why aren't the stipulations sufficient?
The stipulations are not sufficient because I think that in this case you really need to look at the transaction, because the transaction is the taxable event, and for there to be a more fully developed decision, I think that it would be helpful to know how the ticket sale is done, what sales taxes or fees are charged to the customer, and whether there's just a lump sum ticket price, $85, that's right, paid, or whether it's broken out. But maybe that wouldn't matter.
That the outcome would be different if the ticket costs $100 plus Missouri sales tax at X rate plus city ELT at X rate, total price, as opposed to a ticket that just is $100, you hand them a $100 bill, you get the ticket, you walk into the game. Are you saying that those two factual scenarios would result in different outcomes?
Actually, I'm not sure that it would, because I think that the ELT still would be a fee that was paid to or in a place of amusement, games or athletic events. But I still think that it would be helpful to have more evidence about the transactions themselves. At least I would feel more comfortable with that. I think that there were a lot of, I'm sorry.
If we know that a set price was paid and it's stipulated that part of that price was paid to the city for its tax, what else could we possibly need to know to get to the right answer? I mean, you don't seem to dispute that.
I think I agree with you.
Are there any other questions? Thank you.
Thank
Case
you.
Will be submitted.